Okay, good morning to everyone on this another day that our God has made. Only God can make a day. No one else has the power or the ability, the know-how or the knowledge. God makes days, and then he controls everything that goes on in a day. And God has chosen by his wisdom to put us in his day. And the only thing that he asks is that we would praise him, worship him, give him thanks. And we are glad to do that. We give thanks unto the Lord for this another day. I am Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I'm glad to see each one of you this morning. Others are joining in. Glad they're coming in. This is the Contemporary Bible class, of which I am the teacher of Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Sister Marcia Hall is with us. She is the ministry leader. Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is the pastor of the church. I greet you in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen. This morning, if we have any first-time people with us this morning, we are glad that you are here. I can't tell when we have new people or not, and that's good. Anyone is welcome to come to the class. Our class is a come when you can. I've always taught like that, and there's no requirements. It's come when you can to this class. This is a Bible study, and we are studying from the Gospel according to Luke. This morning, we're going to continue in our study from Luke chapter 11. That is our home base chapter for this today and for the next several weeks. Our specific scripture this morning will be verses 21 through 28. Our topic is spiritual warfare, part two. Last week was part one, this week part two, and it also will be the concluding on that topic, spiritual warfare. Of course, a lot more could be said, but we are going on studying the gospel according to Luke. Next week, Lord willing, we will begin studying the passage that starts at Luke chapter 11, verse 29. So if you want to read ahead, study ahead, that's where I plan on going on next week. We have an ambitious study this morning, a lot to cover. And by God's grace and his help, we will cover what it is he has for us. I have prayed for you this week. I pray for you on a regular basis. I do ask you to keep me in prayer. I need your prayers, and you need my prayers. We need one another. So let's continue in prayer one for the other. Our Father who art in heaven, we come before you on this another day, and we are glad to come before you. We are just so grateful that you are God. We are grateful that you reign and you rule over all things, and you are worthy, eternally worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our conquering Savior. We thank you for Jesus, the victorious one. We thank you for Jesus, the overcomer. We thank you for Jesus who overcame death, hell, the grave, Satan, temptation, and all his enemies. We thank you for Jesus, he who has all power in heaven and in earth. You have given into his hands. We stand in awe of you. And now we ask, Spirit of the living God, we ask you to be our teacher this morning. I'm only an instrument. I'm only a vessel, but I'm a willing vessel, Lord. And I ask you to use me and then use us in your service and glorify your name. We pray for one another and for all the needs in this class. And we all have needs, Lord. And we lift up our needs before you. We lift up one another before you. We pray for the absent part of us, those who are part of this class, but could not be here for whatever the reason thou knowest. We pray that all is well. And now, Lord, we pray, feed us, Father, strengthen and nourish us, Lord. We pray to have a little brighter light as a result of being in class, sitting at the feet of Jesus this morning. Anoint me, Lord God. I can't do anything without you. So I ask you to anoint me and use me for your glory. And I'll be careful and will be careful to give your name the praise forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, good morning once again. We are continuing in our study from Luke chapter 11. Our main verses today will be verses 21 through 28. Our topic, spiritual warfare. On last week, we had part one. We have learned that this passage of scripture that we're in Luke chapter 11, is divided into two major parts. First of all, in verses 1 through 13, in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, the topic is prayer, and we studied that. Beginning at verse 14, Luke chapter 11, verse 14, all the way through chapter 12, verse 12, the topic is conflict. Jesus has ended his Galilean ministry, and he is on his way to Calvary. And we're going to meet up with more intense opposition as we proceed forward in the book of Luke. We see more intense opposition, conflict, spiritual warfare right here in Luke chapter 11. We have seen on previous weeks in verse 14 where Jesus cast out a demon from a man. There was a man and he had a demon in him. The demon was mute. The man was not mute. The demon was mute. And when the demon entered that man at whatever point it was, that demon caused the man to be mute as well as blind. And Jesus, who is stronger than all demons, any demon, stronger than death, than the devil, Jesus himself cast out the demon from that man. That is in verse 14. And then the man was able to speak. That is the miracle, the deliverance that occurred. There were three reactions to that miracle, and we have talked about the three reactions. The first reaction found in verse 14, the multitudes marveled. The second reaction, verse 15, they accused Jesus of being satanic. They said that Jesus cast out demons by Beelzebub. In other words, they said Jesus the Christ. They accused him of being used by the devil and Jesus being satanic. The third reaction is found in verse 16, where they wanted another sign from Jesus. Do something else, Jesus. So those are the three reactions. There were three responses from Jesus to each reaction. We have talked about those three responses. They are all found in Luke chapter 11. And so we see conflict, spiritual warfare in this passage. Well, it is spiritual warfare, as I had mentioned on last week. And because we're talking about spiritual warfare, we need to keep in mind that we're talking about spirits, not about flesh and blood. And that's what Ephesians chapter 6 tells us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spirits. And so we're talking about spiritual warfare. And we see these two kingdoms in this passage. We see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, and we also see the kingdom of darkness headed up by Satan. These kingdoms in conflict. We found out on last week that the devil, first of all, is the enemy of God. That is who really the, quote, war is against. Satan is the enemy of God. But Satan is also the enemy of all mankind. Satan is the enemy of God and all that God represents, whether it's righteousness, love, truth, peace, whatever God is all about, Satan is an enemy of that. Satan also enemy of God, but also enemy of all mankind. He is the enemy of all humanity. All of us came into this world lost, and it was Satan's objective to keep us lost. He wanted to keep us lost. He will eternally be condemned to hell, and Satan wants to drag as many people as he can to not only to hell, but ultimately the lake of fire. So the enemy is Satan, is the enemy of all mankind. But thanks be unto God, Jesus comes as the stronger man, and he comes to redeem. And that's what we looked at on last week in verses 21 and 22. The strong man in verse 21, which is a type of the devil, and then the stronger man, which is Jesus in verse 22. So Jesus, stronger than the strong man, has redeemed us. And last week we went to Psalm 107, the 107 number of Psalms, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then it told us, went on to say, that he has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. So we who are born again, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, and now we're in the kingdom of light. Praise the Lord. But that does not mean that we still don't have an enemy. We still have an enemy. Whether you're a saved person or whether a lost person, Satan still hates all mankind. Why is that? Because the image of God is in man. Satan hates man because man, for various reasons, but God has put in man his very own likeness, his very own image. And then God gave man dominion. Well, that's what Satan always wanted. He wanted that dominion. That's what got him kicked out of heaven in the first place. He wanted to rule and he wanted to reign. And then now on earth, God gives man dominion. Well, Satan didn't like that. And so Satan, the enemy of all mankind. Well, we're going to focus on the redeemed. We still have an enemy, even as children of God. And as I mentioned on last week, what is it that the enemy seeks to do to us? Well, his objectives are still the same. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Well, once a person has truly been born again, they are sealed until the day of redemption, can never, ever be lost. Once you're born again, you cannot be unborn. Just think about your natural birth. I was born, my mom's out here on Zoom this morning. I was born into this through my mom and my dad, and the same with you all. We could not reverse it. Once we were born, we were here. And we couldn't just skip over into another family. We were born into the natural family that we were born in. And we are in that family until death does us part. So it is with the spiritual birth. Once a person has been born again, they are made a member of the body of Christ. And Jesus does not dismember his own body. Once someone has been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, they are in that body until the day of redemption. So we just know, I'm not talking about losing salvation, but I am mentioning we still have an enemy. So what does the enemy want to do to us? Now I'm introducing our passage this morning. What does the enemy seek to do to us believers? Well, I wrote out a list of things. I read some of them on last week. He wants to keep us bound. Even though we have been born again, the devil wants to keep us bound. And we ended class last week by going to John chapter 11, and we read the passage where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And in type, that's us being born again, coming forth from spiritual death. But Lazarus was wrapped up in all those grave clothes. Even though he had came forth from the dead, he still was bound in grave clothes. And so it is with us. Satan would have us to still be bound. He wants us still bound, but Jesus comes as believers to set us free. And so Satan seeks to keep us bound in all kinds of ways with our born again selves. He wants to keep us ineffective. He doesn't want us to be effective. Okay, they're born again. Okay, they've been saved. But I don't want them to tell anybody about Jesus. I don't want them to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Satan seeks to keep us weak. He seeks to keep us timid. He seeks to keep us oppressed. He has many things that he wants to do with believers. He wants to water down the truth in us. He wants to keep us sleepy spiritually and sluggish. He seeks to keep us lukewarm. Jesus said, I would that you were hot or cold, but Satan seeks to keep us lukewarm. So we still have an enemy, even though we are born again. And I would say we are, and it's true, we are more a threat to the kingdom of Satan than those who are not saved. That's why he wants to keep us bound. So let's go to several scriptures, and we're going to come back to Luke, but let's go to several scriptures where we can see that, yes, we have an enemy. And I want you to know, you have to say, I have an enemy. You have to know for yourself. I don't want to make it general. Yes, it is general, all believers, but you need to see it personally that you have a personal enemy, which is the devil, who is out to do all he can to trip us up. So let's go to several scriptures. They're all in the New Testament. Let's first of all go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I have five scriptures I want us to turn to. And they will all be to your right. So first of all, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And after we go through these scriptures, I'm going to come back to Luke and read our Luke passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, just to get the context. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Now, when you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Here's the main verse. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. So we can see right there that Satan wants to take advantage of us. And that's one thing he seeks to get us into is unforgiveness. If Satan can get us into unforgiveness, he can have that measure of a hold on us. But we are not ignorant of his devices. We seek to forgive one another because we want to be forgiven by God. And that's one of Satan's devices. So we're talking about spiritual warfare so we can become more aware of his many devices. He has many, but this is one of his devices. And you notice in verse 11, it says, unless Satan should take advantage of us. Well, I don't want Satan taking advantage of me, and neither do you. So we are not ignorant of his devices. Okay, let's keep going. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And then the passage goes on, and there's more that you do need to read. Verse 3, that says, no, we walk in the flesh. Yes, we're flesh and blood. We're physical human beings. We see one another. I'm looking at you via Zoom, flesh and blood, and you're looking at me. But although we walk in the flesh, our war is not according to the flesh. And therefore, we need spiritual weapons. So verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not bullets and guns. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual weapons, such as the name of Jesus. That's a weapon. The blood of Jesus, the cross of Calvary, praise, worship. Those are weapons, and prayer. Those are weapons, and there are more. Let's keep going. The next passage, very familiar, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Most of us have heard this passage. It's a very common passage. Ephesians chapter 6, and sometimes when things are very common, they can lose the effect. Well, the word doesn't lose its effect, but we become so used to hearing it that we really don't hear it, but we want to hear it. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. After Paul has written chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5, he is summarizing in Ephesians chapter 6. And now he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And we all need to hear that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you know why we have to be strong in him? Because he's stronger than the devil. We are not. Our strength comes from the Lord. So we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the power of his might. The instruction goes on. Put on the whole armor of God, that you, and you have to make it you personally, that you personally may be able, you may be able, that's power, you may be able, first you have to be in the Lord and in his power, put on the whole armor, that you may be able, able what? To stand against the wiles. He has many schemes, many devices, many wiles, the wiles of the devil. But we are in Jesus, and he is stronger than all the power of the devil. But we need to be aware of his wiles. Let's keep going on over to James, the book of James. So going over to James chapter 4, the fourth chapter of James. James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God. That's first in warfare. Submit to God. Number 2, resist the devil. Number 3, he will flee from you. So there's a formula there for success in warfare. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then it goes on with more instruction. Let's also go to 1 Peter. So go on over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now you have to think, what does an enemy want to do to you? Just think of it in the natural. An enemy doesn't like you. And once you know there's an enemy, you got to keep in mind it is an enemy. And the ultimate enemy is the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I'm going to start at verse 6. Verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him. And that's important in warfare, because you can get bogged down in worry. You can get bogged down in the cares of this life. But cast all your cares upon him. And sometimes you got to keep casting over and over and over again. But cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Because in warfare, you need strength. So you have to cast your cares upon him. And I do too. Then verse 8 says, be sober. That means don't be drunk with the things of this world, whatever world system it may be. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's for all of us, your adversary, the devil, He's doing what? Walking about. How? Like a roaring lion. Why? Seeking what? Whom he may devour. That includes us. So the devil is walking about. He can't take our salvation, but he can sure take our love. He can try to take our love, our joy, our peace, our anointing, our effectiveness. He can take all of that if we don't stand strong. But he can't take our souls. We cannot be dismembered from the body of Christ. But he can take, seeks to take. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Well, we have eternal life, but Jesus went on to say, and life more abundantly. And Satan does not want us to have that more abundant life. That is what he seeks to take from us, is that more abundant life. Verse 8, 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because who? Your adversary. What's his name? The devil is doing what? Walking about. How? Like a roaring lion. Why? Seeking whom? What? He may eat up, devour. And so we have to see, personally, we have an enemy. Now we need to keep in balance. Let's go back to Luke. Let's keep in balance. Everything that happens in life is not the devil. We are born with a sin nature. We are born with a sin nature. We are not perfect human beings. So we don't want to attribute everything to the devil. But on the other hand, you know, you have to be balanced. On one hand, you don't want to attribute everything to the devil, because some things are just human nature. Some things are just because of the fall of man. But on the other hand, you don't want to ignore that Satan does operate in things. So we want to keep balance. And that should be part of our prayer. Lord, keep me balanced. So let's go to Luke chapter 11, verses 21 through 28. And I'm going to read. I read from the New King James Version of the Bible. Good morning to others who have joined us. We're in Luke chapter 11. Now I'm going to read our passage, beginning at verse 21. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Okay, now we talked about this last week. Picture that you have a strong man, not just a man, but it's a strong man. And this strong man is fully armed. And I talked about that last week. I'm going to keep reading, but I'm talking as I'm teaching, because time is moving as I read the passage. What is part of Satan's armory? Well, one of his chief weapons is lies, deception, fear. Those are big weapons, unforgiveness, rebellion, bitterness, all of that. He arms himself to throw that against people. When a strong man, fully armed, and he's seeking to do what? Guard his own palace. And that palace is the person. However, the palace can also be a city. It can be a region. It can be a church. It can be any facet of society that the Satan seeks to bind. He can seek to bind people, and he does, but also cities, nations, regions, churches. When you read the book of Revelation, and there's those seven churches there, and I recommend sometime you go through those seven churches and see how involved the devil is involved, even in local churches. So he's seeking, the strong man, fully armed, is seeking whoever he can devour, whatever he can devour. He guards his own palace. And if he's fully armed, guarding his own palace, his goods are in peace. And that's how this passage opened in verse 14. This man in verse 14, he was mute. Why? Because a demon was in him. And that's how Satan guarded that palace. He got a demon in that man. We don't know how. And demons still get in people. They still get in people. They still seek to possess to different measures in people. It can be one or it can be many. They seek to oppress the saved and the unsaved. They seek many things in people. So verse 14, Satan was guarding that man, but then Jesus came. And that's what verse 22 says. Verse 22 says, when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. And we saw Jesus come upon the strong man in verse 14, and Jesus cast out that devil. Well, how does that relate to us? Because today we are in the earth as Christians, representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has told us, go forth in his name. He said, go forth in his name. He has given us a command to heal. He has given us a command to cast out demons. He has given us these commands, proclaim the gospel. And so he has given the church, the true church, that born again group, power to do what he did back in the gospels. But Satan wants to keep the church ineffective, unanointed, ignorant, all that was in the past. He doesn't do those things today. Those are lies of the devil. And so the stronger man in verse 22 is the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are strong in him. And when you look at verse 33, you know, one of our major weapons, what God has commanded the church to do today, is proclaim the good news of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in it is the power of God unto salvation. The power is in the cross of Calvary, the shed blood of Calvary, and the resurrection. And so Satan does all he can to keep hindering. He wants to hinder the preaching of the effectiveness of the cross of Christ. And so verse 33, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket. So that's what Satan wants us to do. Yes, God has given us a light, but he wants us to put our light under a basket. Or he wants us not to let our light so shine. Oh, dim the light. That's what he's trying to do in us, is dim the light. And so we see in verse 21, let's go back to Luke chapter 11, verse 21. I'm going to try reading again. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor, that's deliverance, in which he trusted, and divides his spoils. That's salvation. Then verse 23, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. You cannot be on both sides. You're either for Jesus or against Jesus. So you have to choose which side you're going to be on. If you're going to be on Jesus' side, be with him all the way. That's the battle, to be with him all the way for Jesus. Not trying to love this world or the world system, but all the way for Jesus. Verse 24, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I come. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. All right. So let's look at these passages on this morning. Now, I hope you have pen and paper in hand. Some of you can take notes. Others listen to the teaching again and take notes from that. But there are two different sections in what we've just read. In verses 21 and 22, Jesus attacks the strong man. That's in verse 21 and 22, where we see Jesus attacking, overcoming, conquering the strong man. So Jesus attacks the strong man, the devil. That's in 21 and 22. Then when you get to verse 24 and 26, now it's Satan attacks. 21 and 22, Jesus is on the attack. In verse 24 through 26, Satan attacks a man. Satan is attacking in verse 24 and 26, all right? So first of all, 21 and 22, Jesus attacks. And whatever Jesus attacks, he wins, always. In verse 24 through 26, Satan is on the attack. He is attacking a man, and he still does that today. For men, women, boys, and girls, Satan seeks to find someone to operate through and someone to use. So Satan, in verse 24 through 26, Satan is on the attack. Now, if you have pen and paper, I want you to write these words, goals. Because you notice in verse 24, when an unclean spirit goes out. So I want you to write goes out. That's first, goes out. Then I want you to see it says he goes through. So write goes through. That's in verse 24. He goes out, and then he goes through. Then he goes to, just write goes to, and I'll show you each one of these in a moment. So we have goes out, he goes through, he goes to, then he goes with, W-I-T-H, he goes with, and then finally he goes in, And so the first goal is he goes out, the last goal, he goes in. Now, let's find these goals in this passage. Well, first of all, it says when an unclean spirit goes out of a man. And so this demon that was inside of this person, a man, the spirit went out. We don't know who cast it out. We don't know why the spirit left. That's not important in the passage. The why. What is important is the spirit did leave the man. So we see the spirit went out. Then it says he goes through dry places seeking rest. And so he's on a trip now. He's traveling. He went out of a man. Now he's going through dry places seeking rest. Now, you remember in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says the devil is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is seeking. And then demonic spirits are seeking someone to use, someone to operate through. And so this demon is going through. He's on a search mission. He's seeking rest, someone he can operate through. But he was unsuccessful. So then it says he found none, and he says, I will return to. So that's that goes to. So he goes back to that man. I will return to my house. And that house was that man. I went out of the man. I couldn't find anybody else to get into. So let me go back to that man. So he went back to the man. And when he comes, verse 25, he came back to that man and he looked and he found out it was the man had swept up and put in order. Then it says, then he goes and takes with. So now he went back to the man, found out the house was empty. Then he went and got seven other spirits. And so this one demon went and got seven others. And all together, they came back in and they went in. Okay, so those are the goals. Goes out, goes through, goes to, goes with, goes in. All right. Now you notice in this passage, I said in verse 21 and 22, Jesus is attacking the strong man and Jesus wins. But in verse 24 through 26, who are the characters? Well, the characters is the demon, and then seven other demons, and the man. Who's missing? Well, who's not mentioned in this passage? There's no mention of Jesus. There is no mention of all of the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage. And that is the point. And that is the problem. And that is the issue, that Jesus is not involved in this man's life for whatever the reason. There is no mention of Jesus. It's just the man and the demons. And you know what happens then, because the demons are stronger than us. And demons are stronger than all of us, but Jesus is stronger than all of them. And so because there's no mention of Jesus, and I'm still dealing with this passage here, there's no mention of Jesus, then the demons were able to come back and to get into that man. All right, verse 24. The unclean, that's another title for demons, evil spirits, wicked spirits. They're called unclean spirits, and they defile. That's what they seek to do, is to defile a man. Now, let me mention this quickly. Satan, in his armory, has many ways to attack spirit, soul, and body. We, as human beings, we have three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And Satan seeks to attack spiritually, keep us spiritually blind, keep the lost spiritually blind to Jesus. He seeks to attack the soul, which is the mind. He wants to get into our thoughts, which is the will. He wants to get into our choices, which is the emotions. He wants to get into our affections and what we care about. He seeks to attack the body, which is what he did in verse 14, attack that man's speech ability. So I just wanted to say that, by the way, Satan seeks to attack spirit, soul, and body. If he can get us bogged down in worry, bogged down in fear, then he has attacked us in our souls and in our minds. So verse 24 here, now this is a lost man. He didn't have to be lost. But as far as we can tell in this passage, this man, first of all, the unclean spirit went out of this man. Okay, and this is not just a parable. These things really happen. This happens. These things happen. So this unclean spirit, demon, who was in this man for whatever reason, we don't know how he went out or why he went out, but he did go out of the man. And that's a good thing. We don't, a demon, you don't want one in you, and I don't want one in me. And I don't want to be used by a demon. I don't want to be used, and you don't want to be used either. But we certainly don't want one in us or one in someone else. And so this demon, this defiling, nasty, wicked spirit inside of this man, he went out of the man. And then he did what? He went through, it says, the demon. It's going through dry places, looking for something else to get into, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. So now you have to see the demon. You have one. You all probably can't see my finger. We have one, one, which is the man. But inside of that man, let me hold up something else. Inside of that man, well, okay, just imagine the object. And inside of that object is a man, one. All you can see physically is one man. But inside that man is a spirit. Then it divides. The one divides into two because the spirit leaves the man. You all got it? I'm sure you have that. The spirit left the man. The spirit went this way. And the man went that away. So you got to see both of them got a mission. The demon went to what? Find something, someone else to get into. The man, what did he do? Well, the man, it tells us in verse 25, when the spirit returned, it said, and when he comes, the spirit came back to that man. He found it swept and put in order. So when the demon left the man was able, because that demonic spirit that was defiling him and oppressing him and hindering him, and he couldn't get free. But when the spirit left the man, now the man is able to put his life back together. These are examples. Maybe he went to therapy, trying to get his life back together. Maybe he went to Alcoholics Anonymous, trying to get his life back together. And those are all good things. Maybe he went to church. That's a good thing for sure. Maybe he even went to church. Maybe he asked his wife or his kids to forgive him. He's doing everything, trying to get his life back in order. Maybe he went to anger management and he could better control his anger. Maybe he stopped smoking, stopped drinking, stopped drugging, stopped lusting, stopped pornography. Maybe he was able to do all those things because, see, it tells us the house got swept, which means the man cleaned up his life because that defiling spirit wasn't there that was hindering the man. The man is now able to clean up his house. So he swept the house and got everything in order. You know, the man is looking okay. Maybe he got a job now and he can hold a job. Maybe he finished his degree. All of those are examples of getting things swept and back in order. But what happens is when the spirit came back in verse 24, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept, cleaned up. That man cleaned up his life and his life is back in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits. Y'all, what's missing? The house was clean, but the thing that is missing is there was no Jesus. Maybe the man even went to church. Do you know going to church does not mean you truly been converted? It does not mean necessarily that you've been born again. I mean, all of that could be part of trying to get his life back together. And joining the church is a good thing. You know, that's a good thing to do. But that does not necessarily mean that Jesus is really in your heart. So I say to all of you, make sure you really have been born again. Make sure you know the Lord as your Savior. So the Spirit comes back to this man. He says, oh, the house is clean. And what would the Spirit be looking for? Well, he would be looking to make sure that no one can kick him out of that house. He would be looking to make sure that Jesus is not there because Jesus is stronger than him. The Holy Spirit who dwells within us, and we should be grateful for the Holy Spirit. You all, it's the Holy Spirit in us, not the unclean spirit, but the Holy Spirit. And so this spirit, the demon, came back to the man. The man's life is all cleaned up. That's a good thing, but it's not good enough to keep anyone from the attacks of the devil. You have to have Jesus in your heart, and not just that, really putting him first. It says in verse 23, he who is not with me, you have to be with Jesus and with him all the way. Now, that doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't sin sometimes, but we are convicted. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we don't backslide. Sometimes a Christian can backslide, but if the seed of God is in them, God's going to bring them through that. Might have to go through a lot, but God will bring them through. And so we want to give all to Jesus. That's what we want to do. We're seeking to put all on the altar, give our all to Jesus. So when the devil comes looking at Velma, and when he comes looking at you, a demonic spirit, unclean spirit, who can I use today? Well, we don't want him to use us. I don't want him to use me, and you don't want him to use you. So we want to fill us. We want to be filled. That's what the Bible says. Be filled with the Spirit. And so we are seeking to be filled with the Spirit. And that's the problem with this man. He had swept the house. He had cleaned the house, but he hadn't filled the house with Jesus. And so therefore, because Jesus was not in that man's house, therefore, this man, this demon now, he's got a brand spanking clean, his palace that he had defiled. Now the house has been cleaned up, and he goes and seeks his buddies, seven other spirits. And he seeks seven other spirits. That's a number of completion there. And they are more wicked than himself. And I don't know all the reasons for why more wicked than himself. But one reason I would say is that when it was that one spirit, he went out of that man. And we don't know what caused him to go out. So he takes these seven other spirits. And it's as if to say, I'm getting in this man now, and I'm going to stay. And he took seven other spirits, more wicked. And that lets you know there are degrees of wickedness. There are different degrees of wickedness. He took seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter. That's a sad thing there. But they did enter. They entered right into that man, and they dwelt there. They lived there. They stayed in that man. And as far as we know, they stayed there till the day that man died, as far as we know. Because it says in verse 26, and the last state, and if you take last all the way, that's till death. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Because at first, he did have the chance to really give Jesus his all. But for whatever reason, he didn't give Jesus his all. He didn't give Jesus everything. He didn't even give Jesus a little, as far as we know. There's no such thing as giving Jesus a little. But he didn't even say, come into my heart. None of that. And therefore, because there's no Jesus, the end of a person will be hell. Now, how does this relate to us? Well, verse 23, we want to be with Jesus, with him all the way. We want to be filled with the Spirit. We are not perfect beings. We do fall. We do mess up. But we say, Lord Jesus, keep working with me. We have 3 minutes. We say, Lord, keep working with me. And then in verse 27 and 28, we've talked about this on previous weeks. That's where the woman gave this false praise. She gave a false praise, and she started praising Mary. She started praising Jesus' mother. And Jesus says more than that. Verse 28, blessed are those, and this is to us. Blessed are we if we hear the word of God and keep it. And that's what we're seeking to do today. Hear God's word and then also keep it. You know, Satan has many methods. He can come as a roaring lion. And that's what he did in verse 15. He came as a roaring lion. He cast out demons by Beelzebub. That's the roaring lion. But he can also come as a sweet, quote, sweet angel of light. And he used this woman. Blessed is the womb that bore you. That was him coming sweet, but it was still the devil. And so we want to pray for a spirit of discernment to be able to discern whether the devil comes sweet or whether he comes as a roaring lion. Help us, Lord, to know the difference between clean and unclean, between holy and unholy, between spirit and flesh. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the name of Jesus, that exalted name, that name which is far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. We praise the name of Jesus. We thank you that Jesus is in us. We thank you, Lord, that you dwell in us by your Spirit. And we ask you now to fill us, Lord. That's our prayer. Fill us, Lord God, fill us so there is no room for the wicked one. Now we ask you to be with us through this week. Give us a discerning spirit. Teach our hands how to fight and teach us how to war spiritually. Keep us ever in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless all of you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for the Lord.
Next week, we're moving on. Lord willing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
God bless
love you.
You
all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. God bless you.
Walk in the Spirit.
All right.
Hey, my baby.
Hey, sister, raise your hand. What does that mean? You going to say something, Ann?
It's Sonia. Hi, Sonia.
Hi.
Hi,
Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. Secret.
Hi, Cheryl.
Bye. Wasn't it beautiful?
God bless you.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, is Sister Cole with us?
Have a good day.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Sister Cole.
Good morning. How are you? And
good morning, everyone.
You have a song for us, Sister Cole?
I'm sure she does.
Not today.
Oh.
There's rest for the weary. Bless God.
Well, you rest there.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Everyone have a blessed week.
You too. God bless you.
Bless us with the words, Belma.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Pray for me.
Praise God.
Okay.
Hope to see you next week.
Hope to see you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.